But I have lived long enough to learn something of men's fate. Weird is like a great heavy pile of logs stacked against a man's house. At the bottom of the pile, you have the layers that were stacked and left to season years ago. These you cannot get to easily without trapping your fingers or bringing the whole lot down. Neither can you shift the whole pile at once from one place to another. If you have lived with no regard for the saga tale you will leave behind, you will find your weird grown too big and heavy to move. You will likely die a straw death, or fall from a cliff, or see your flesh eaten by some foulness. But if you are a man who wants to leave a great blaze behind you when you cross the Rainbow Bridge, you can. By great deeds or some act of courage, shift the newer layers, and thus defy those bitches the Norns, who love to spin men a poor end. Still, some men's destinies are entwined with others, and this sort of weird can be much too heavy, so that all you can do is fight hard, tooth and nail, whenever a bad death is stalking you. I have moved my own log pile more times than I can recall. I have been unpicking the threads of my weird all my life and see no reason to stop now. Which is why the well-worn hinges of my sea chest have been squeaking like a caught mouse recently, as well you all know. I have sent several of your sons and striplings out into the world, as well as five of my own thralls, who happen to be near to useless anyway, and better kept out of my way for their own good. For I did not live so long, and survive so many fights, so that I could die in my sleep. I have too many friends and ormates waiting for me in the Allfather's Hall for that. Though sometimes I fear they will not recognize me after so long, and with this white hair and frail body. For years I have kept burning the hope that some of my enemies still live. Gods, I made enough of them. Surely there are some still out there to whom I owe a blood price. I have so often whispered that into the dark. And your sons will earn good silver searching for them. Even more if they spit my challenge into those whore sons' ears. Now, there are rumours in the village, shivering here and there like moths, that one, or even more, are coming. Hard men, who know that my death will swell their reputation like a corpse's bloated belly. And I thank Old One Eye for that, for it is he who pumps the bellows, fanning the flame lust in men's chests. They are coming for Raven. Men whisper into their mead horns, their eyes shifting as the grey sea rode. Well, let them come. Chapter 1. We were 71 warriors, and as odd a crew as have ever ploughed the Wales Road. Norse, Dane, and English. Men who would normally face each other from behind the shield wall, sat beside each other on sea chests, shared deck space beneath the stars, and pulled the spruce oars together so that they beat like eagles' wings, our bows slicing the sea. We even had a monk and a woman thrown in for good measure. Though a monk aboard a longship is about as useful as a hole in a shield. Even so, Father Egfrith was a good man. For all his fool's hope of sluicing the old gods from our black souls. As for the woman, she was Cynethryth. Beautiful Cynethryth. And that was enough. For 7 weeks, Jormungand, Serpent's dragon prow, had forged into the unknown, following the Frankish coast.